thankful for this church. I'm thankful for that we can come together. We can open up God's Word like we've done so many times. You know, when I first came to this church, it was actually, I think, the first one when we were looking for churches to go to join. We came to this one first and went to a bunch of different ones and then came back. But the very first time I came here, they opened up the Bible and we got into the Word of God, and it's still going on, and I'm thankful for that, because that's the secret right there. You know, you can inflate the numbers, you can do different things, but you cannot learn what God wants without getting in God's Word. You can't learn who God is without reading the only thing that God revealed about who He is, and that's His Word. So I'm thankful for that tonight. So Psalm 112, just going to look at the first four verses of this psalm. It says in verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. We thank you for its truth. Lord, I ask that you'd help me to preach tonight. Lord, help us to open up our ears, our hearts to the word. Lord, to set aside excuses. Lord, to set aside where we think we're better than the word. But Lord, I ask that you'd help us to, Lord, if there's an area where you and your still small voice convict, Lord, I ask that we would take hold of that. Lord, help us to draw closer to you. Lord, help us to grow in this Christian life. We love you. We thank you for all things. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, and amen. So, in Psalm 112, he starts out, he's, of course, saying, "Praise you, the Lord." But he says at the beginning, "Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord." And if you think about that phrase, you know, this world tries to find blessings in so many different places. You know, I could just rattle off a list, but a lot of them, they try to find blessings in money, and they try to accumulate as much as they can, and that drives their life. I'm sure you've seen people like this. They're just driven however they can do it, and some do it legally, some illegally, but they try to find blessings in money. But the problem is they get to a spot where money can't do what they need. You know, money, maybe at the end of their life, they can't buy any more time when their life is ending. The money is worthless at that point. The Bible says somebody else will get it and will spend it, and who knows what will happen. But men try to find blessings in that, and then similarly, they try to find blessings in career. And we see that. We see people trying to build everything. And a lot of times you notice that near the end of their life, when you talk to them or once they retire, all they have to talk about is the career that they had. And that's it. It's almost as if their life was over at that point. And that's the sad thing, because at some point, either the company goes out of business, or they lay you off, or you retire, or something happens. And that career that they're trying to find blessing and happiness in, it lets them down. And then another big one's relationships. And we see this a lot. Good relationships, bad ones. They try to find blessings in that. And you know, a lot of times in this world, it's good until it just doesn't work for me anymore. And then the relationship ends. Or maybe they stay together, and then one of them goes by way of death. And you think about that this world just, once there's a separation there, they have no hope at that point. So they're trying to find blessings in all these places. And I just mentioned three examples, but you can think of many, many more. And in fact, just think about, what are your coworkers, friends going to talk about tomorrow, you know, when you get to work? What are they going to talk about? The things that they think bring them blessings and bring them happiness that they did over the weekend. And in all reality, it just brought a temporary thing. But the Bible says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. And you see that a man that fears the Lord, a woman that fears the Lord, will find a true blessing that won't just end at the end of this life. It will go on into the next life. It'll be eternal. And I'm glad for that. You know, you think about this. God has given us a good life as a Christian. It is a blessed life. It's a better life. But even this better life than our life of sin is nothing compared to the life to come. And you think about it. We are blessed because of the Lord. And then not only that, even when the trials of life come, even when the storms come, we are still blessed. This world, when they're in the middle of a trial, they've got nothing to turn to but themselves, or maybe the government or something like that. We can turn to the Almighty God. And I like what Mary said this morning when she testified. You don't have to sit on hold for a while, punch some buttons and try to hope that the buttons you press get you to a real person. I know what I'm talking about. You try to call those customer support numbers or whatever, and all you'd get is press 1 for this, press 7 for that. And then sometimes I get stuck and I'm like, I don't need any of these options. Where have I gotten? I've gotten nowhere, but I'm glad that the moment I cry out to God, He is there to listen. That is a blessing, that He is there and waiting to listen to us. And not even in trial. He's willing. He's there preparing a place for us. But not only that, but the true hope that we have. We have lost loved ones just like the world has lost loved ones. But instead of just putting them into the ground and just saying they're up with the angels doing whatever they love to do on this earth, we've got a true hope from God's Word that we know that John saw them already, and we know what they're doing. They're praising God. And I say, praise the Lord for that, because they're doing the same thing down here that we're going to do to up there. Thanks be unto God for that. But He says it is a blessing. If you want to know the secret to a true blessing and a true blessed life, it is a life in Jesus Christ. Fearing God. That means that not only is it just a relationship where you're just saying it and you're just but not really following through, but it's a fear of the Lord that's saying, you know what? If God comes back today, I fear Him enough that I want to be found doing His will. I want to be in His house. I want to do everything I can try to do for Him. That's because I fear God. Not that I'm just going to go out and live however I want. Those people don't fear God. There's no fear there. But you know, as I thought about this, if we're so different because we're not finding blessings in the same places, and we've got things like a real blessing that's not temporary, not as long as the money doesn't run out and other things, then that means, like I said many times, we should be a stark contrast to the world. We should live and talk and act and make decisions differently than this world. Amen? That's what should happen. We shouldn't be out here searching for what's going to bless us, searching for what's going to bring us contentment and satisfaction. It should already be there. We should already have it because we've got Jesus Christ. And because of that, when we go out into this world and we do have to live in this world and work in this world, they should see that our ultimate source of blessing is Jesus Christ. That's what they should see. I don't know about you, but at work, I'm the minority. And I'm not talking about skin color or anything like that. I'm a minority because there are things about my life that are wholeheartedly different and that I don't share with many people there, unfortunately. I tell you what, a lot of times when I'm talking to people at work, I hear things, as if they hate their spouse. They can't stand being at home, and I'm the minority because I love my wife. I can't wait to get off work and to go be with Brooke and Harper and whatever we're getting ready to do. It doesn't really matter, but I can't wait for that. There's others that they want to leave work and then go somewhere else and just to take up time because they don't ever want to go home. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
We're the minority, aren't we?
That's just one tiny example, but there are many, many others. You know, you think about you and I work hard because the work that we do for the employer, we don't want to steal time from them. We don't want to steal what they're paying us to do. We work hard while we're there. But unlike most others, we don't put work before the Lord. We're in the minority, aren't we? There's many things you can go on and on and on. We don't talk like them. We don't make decisions like them. And here's the problem. It's easy to shake our head and amen and hear, but the problem is, are they really seeing it out there? Are they really seeing it when it comes to where the blessings, if we were to ask them, where's Mike's blessings really come from? What would they say? He's got a good job. Well, he's got this, right? Would they say those things? Or would they see something in my life that's different? And no, Mike doesn't spend the weekend the same way we do, right? Same way you do. They see a difference. You know, there's a phrase, I've heard it for a long time, you're the only Bible that some people read or see or whatever, and I don't really like phrases like that. I think people, you put them above Scripture sometimes, and I don't like that. But you know, if you think about that phrase, unfortunately, as time goes on, and what Nick said this morning, there, the truth is not getting passed down from generation to generation. God's Word isn't getting passed down like it used to, almost automatically, where kids would grow up, all generations would grow up in the Lord and then later decide they wanted to walk away. There's a lot of kids that grow up never stepping foot into a church that preaches the Word, never hearing about the Gospel, just hearing lies and false things about God. So if they're not hearing the truth, then it is getting more and more accurate that they're not reading Psalm 112 verse 1. They're not reading that. But are they seeing it in our life? It becomes true, doesn't it? As time goes forward, are they seeing where the real source of blessing is? Are they seeing? But if we live our lives as if the Bible isn't true when we're at work, when we're out in the world, we're going against this verse because people need to see where our blessings come from and not just act like they do. It's easy to chase the world because you're running around them. But when you go the opposite direction and they're all running towards money and success and you're going towards Jesus, you're going to start running into them. You know, at work, they're doing all this renovation on our massive building, and some of these hallways, they have it down to literally this wide. And I mean, tons of people have to go two directions in this little hallway. You know what happens? You kind of run into people as you're going through. It just happens. You know what? That's the way it should be with us in the world. There's not enough room for us to be different and the world not see it anymore. The devil has made so many go one direction. We're starting to stand out. It's just like the three Hebrew children. You go to that story. There were a lot of Jews there. But only three stood firm. And that's the way we're getting. They need to see it. They need to see it in our lives. And not only do they need to see where our blessings come from and hear about it in our speech, but it says at the end, also in that verse, they need to see that we delighteth greatly in His commandments. And that means living a righteous Christian life should not be a drudgery. It should not be something that we have to do, we're being forced to do. It should be something that is a privilege because we are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has given us mercy. He's given us a new life. He's given us eternal life. You put all these things together, we should be showing the world that a Christian life is better, that a righteous life is better. Yes, it's different, and it's different for a reason. The reason is God has given us these commandments and things because it's for what's best for us. I am here to tell you, you and I will not live a better life if we try to mix the idols of the world with God. And He told us not to do that. He said, have no
other gods before me. No graven images. No idols. None of those things. You can just go down through the commandments one by one. And then where he explains them and expounds upon them. And we can see the whole reason why he did that is so we can keep our focus on Jesus Christ. And we can live the best life. I'm here to tell you, this world, they get into situations that they just, I mean, they're just baffled with. They have so many problems that would just be solved if they just followed what God said.
Yeah, that's true.
We've got all kinds of. I'm here to tell you. You talk about all the sexual crimes and everything else. That would all be gone if people didn't fornicate.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know who the father is. Well, it should be your husband, right? And that's it. But this world has a whole tons of, has all kinds of problems surrounding it. That's why God put it in that way. Because a child needs a mother and a father committed to one another, serving Jesus Christ. That's how they're going to grow up in their best life. God did it on purpose. You see what I mean? He's blessing us. But if we go out here and we act like it's a drudgery and we say, yeah, I just can't have any fun anymore like I used to. Then they don't want this. What we need to tell them is, like I used to, I wasn't sure where anything was coming from. But like I used to, I'd wake up and not know what I did and be afraid. Right? What I used to is probably going to die. Do you know where I'm at now? I'm in the arms of Jesus Christ. He's leading me. I'm not doing the things I once did. Praise God. Delight in His commandments. Delight in living righteously. You know where those things can only come from one place is delighting in the Word of God. This world will tell you what they think good morals is. It doesn't match the Bible. Well, we spent a lot of time on verse 1. We'll keep going. Verses 2 and 3, His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in His house, and His righteousness endureth forever. We look at these verses and we see a lot of material blessings here, don't we? It sounds good, doesn't it? And you know, if I was a prosperity preacher, I would have taken those two verses and ran with them and said, here is how you get great riches. But you got to remember, this is an Old Testament passage. And you got to remember, God did promise material wealth and blessings to the Israelites when they followed Him, didn't they? When they were obedient, when they didn't mix religions and gods and everything else. He didn't give that promise to you and I. But maybe we can't get the material blessings out of it, but I'm here to tell you, we can get the spiritual blessings out of this. We can get those from living righteously in a close relationship with God. Why? He talks about being mighty. And I'm here to tell you, just before the whole armor of God verse, Paul says this in Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm here to tell you, we can be mighty in the face of the enemy. Who's the enemy? The same one that tries to destroy us, the wickedness in high places, principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of the world, day after day that's trying to destroy us, deceive us, ruin our testimony, split up our families. But I'm glad that greater is the power that is in us than he that's in the world. And I'm glad that not only through righteous living and fear of the Lord we can show this world that there is a difference through righteousness and through the power of God and through His Spirit blessings, we can stand against the devil, not because of our strength, but because of who is behind us. You say, Mike, is that true? Go into the Old Testament and look at every single battle where the enemy was greater. They had more power, they had more numbers, they had better equipment, more horses, more iron chariots, better tactics, better ground, everything. And every single time, God said, I see that you're less in number, less powerful, less skilled, less weapons, whatever you want to say, but I am God and I'm going to show them who's God. I'm here to tell you, the world is better funded, they're better cooperated, they rally together better, they protest together, but I'm here to tell you, it takes one of us with the truth of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and the whole armor of God, and we can go right through that
nonsense. And that's what happens. You see it, I said we're the minority already, but that minority is who people start to seek out at work, don't they? Right? It may take a while, but they'll come and say, hey, I got a problem. Why aren't they going to their friends? Because I got a problem that I can't solve, we can't solve, the bartender can't solve, none of us can solve it. They need a higher power. Same power that rose Jesus from the grave can protect us from the wiles of the devil, quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and give us the spiritual strength just like Samson had physical strength. And I thought about Samson for a minute, and when he used his strength that the Lord had given him, it was visible for all to see. They could see the effects of God through his strength. I know in Vacation Bible School and Sunday School and in the flannel graph and everything else, it shows Samson is a big, strong, mighty warrior. I don't think he was. I challenge you. I bet he looked about like me. That because his strength, they're like, where in the world is that strength coming from? It's not coming from here, right? If you look at me and I lifted up a car and threw it, or lifted the gates of a city and carried it away, you'd say, who did that? It wasn't him. They were able to see that strength. And when you and I clearly and truly act under God's power and His defense and His protection and His spiritual might, they will see that too. They'll say, wait a second, what's going on there? And then finally, we see in verse 4, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Aren't you glad that one thing a righteous person has is we are guided by the Word of God. This world stumbles around as if they're in darkness, don't they? Oh, it's bright out. And our cars have brighter headlights than they ever have at night, right? We are almost blinded when somebody comes the other way. We've got all kinds of lights everywhere. But this world is confused at where to turn. And where to go. They're always trying things. Well, I'll try this or I'll try that or I read this book or I got this advice. And then when it doesn't work there, well, I'll just try something else. I'm glad we've got the truth right here. And we don't have to try it and see if it works. It does work. It does work. We're guided. We're led by the light of the Bible. But you know, really what caught my eye are these last couple things in verse 4. Talking about this blessed man, this righteous man. It said there were a couple things about him. Number one, it said he is gracious. You see that? He is gracious. He is gracious. That means he's not spiteful. He's not malicious. He's not vengeful. He's not mean. He's not unloving. He's not unforgiving. Right? Those are all the opposite of being gracious. You know what? I want Jesus to be gracious to me. But do I want that same grace for everyone else? Oh, it's easy for me to want that grace for you. We're in this together. What about wanting that same graciousness for those that go against us? Right? Because He is gracious, you only need to show that when it comes, right? It's just like I tried to explain the freedom of speech. It only works if you allow speech that people don't like. Otherwise, it's not freedom. If we all like it, big deal. It's the stuff you don't like to hear. That's what makes it a real freedom. That's why we get up here and preach this. They don't like this. One day they'll say, we still have the freedom of speech, but you can't preach anything that's filled with hate. Right? That's a code word for not freedom. Same thing with graciousness. Oh, well, I'm gracious to those who help me. Was Jesus gracious only to those who helped Him, served Him, walked with Him, never gave up on Him? No, He's gracious to everybody. In fact, Luke 4:22 says this about Jesus, "And all bear Him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth." That tells me that even when Jesus was on this earth and He was speaking literally as if grace was coming out of His mouth. "Blessed man fears the Lord, delights in righteous living, puts on the whole armor of God, receives spiritual blessings, but he also shows the grace of Jesus Christ in everyday life." Right? That's what it's saying. How will the lost know that Jesus is truly gracious if we're unforgiving? And we're vengeful. And we're mean. Remember what I said. They don't have this. They have it, but they're not reading it. They're not getting into it. It's not being given to them on television. Not the shows they're watching. So then they're looking at our life. And here's the question. Are you living out graciousness? It says He is gracious. Right? Oh, see, you're probably saying, "Mike, I really like this psalm, because if you skip down and you skip that part that you just hit and go to verse 6, surely he shall not be moved forever. I like that." See, that's what I go to this psalm for, right? The righteous won't be moved. "I shall not be moved." We sing that psalm. It comes from right here, right? Just like a tree planted by the water. But before you can get to "I shall not be moved," you've got to be gracious. That's what he's saying right there. Living it. How will they know? What's the next thing? Full of compassion. How do they know Jesus is compassionate if we're not? Right? The same mouth can't say, "Jesus lives in my heart, and He's compassionate." That's what the Bible says, right? "And compassion doesn't come out of my mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Right? It's logic right there.
Right.
It happened. And that's what the world sees. They see when we do not live consistent to the Word. They see that and they catch on to that. And that's the problem. We can sit there and tell them about Jesus and tell them about Jesus and give them the Romans Road and do these things. And we need to do that. Give them our testimony. But also the periods in between is what they're really watching us for. It's in between the two witnessing sessions that they want to see a gracious, compassionate, blessed, righteous life, and not one out of drudgery, but one because we love Jesus Christ. And when they see that, that's when they'll come to you. Right? They'll seek us out. Instead of us having to force it all the time, they come to us and say, "There's something different. You should have gotten vengeance. You should have been angry." Right? "You should have done this with us. But there's something different with you." Now that doesn't mean we're a doormat. That doesn't mean, you know, we can be treated however. But I have a feeling that we haven't been a doormat in a long time. I have a feeling we'll say, "Well, I'll tell you something." Right? I have to stop myself. I don't know about you. I get angry. People make me angry. You know, the devil, he knows how to make us angry. You know why? Because he can hear. He doesn't know what's in our mind. But if somebody says something to us and he sees our reaction, that's our mind through our face. Right? Right there. Just like the other person. And I've had to stop myself a lot. Because I wanted to give them exactly what was on my mind, Brother Pete. I never did the fist. Probably wouldn't have worked. But you see what I'm saying? We're different. And it's hard. But it has to be done. It has to be done. And this is the area where even us as really super spiritual and Christians a long time and gone to church a long time and know the Word, we have to get in this spot right here, because this is where we tend to fly right over and say, "Well, I don't have a problem with that." Oh, do you? So you're a wonderful testimony to all those that know you really well.
Ooh. You know what? I have stood up here and I have heard people pray for their, request prayer for different ones. And I wished I could just stop them and say, listen, you can't convince somebody to do something you're not convinced of. If you're the closest one, the best example of Jesus Christ that they know, and you're trying to convince them of whatever, I'll pick one, being committed to Christ, being committed to His church. There used to be someone that over and over again, it would drive me crazy. You wouldn't see them for months, then they'd come a couple services here and there, and then they'd be gone for half a year, and they would stand up and they would say, pray for my son, daughter, whoever, that they would see how serious we need to be in church and how we need to be dedicated. I just want to stop and be like, do you know what that word means? Dedicated like you are? I'm not praying that prayer. Right? We laugh. Now let's pick our own. We know what it is. We know what things it is. They see it. But I don't want us to be defeated right now. I don't want us to end on a bad note. I'm here to tell you, because the devil will then, he'll latch on to this and he'll say, well, you'll never be good enough. Right? You can't live a perfect life, so it's because they can't see you living a perfect life, you'll never reach anybody around you, and that's a bunch of lies too. You know what the key is? When they see us, you know what it really is. They're not looking for perfection. You know what they're looking for? The same thing that God's looking for, really, is growth. Right? They know you have whatever problem, anger problem, whatever problem it is, they know you have it. But when they see you're moving away from where you once were, they'll say, wait a second. The old Mike would have done this. What happened? The old, and maybe they don't say it, but they think about it in their mind. And these things start adding up. And then our prayers that we've been praying all the time to the Holy Spirit, that starts working a little better, Brother Pete. I don't want to hinder somebody from Jesus Christ.
Right.
But I can. And you can. He says you need to be gracious, blessed, compassionate, living righteously to all those around you. It's easy in here. What about tomorrow morning? You know what I want? I want the Lord to help me with that. I ask Him to put on the whole armor each day. Lord, can You help me show You today and make it real? Show You what I haven't been able to quite do it before. So that way people see it and doors get opened. That's what I want to see. With those around us that we love, that know us the best. The friends, the family, the co-workers that we spend lots and lots of time with. Right? Are they seeing something that's different? And don't compare yourself to another Christian. Compare yourself to Jesus Christ. Because that's where we need to get to. That's where we need to be working towards. And I'm here to tell you, we can grow stronger. Haven't you looked back and seen areas that you really struggle with that aren't a struggle with? Then we can say, thank you, God. Right? Yeah. Do you look back in your Christian life and see changes?
Sure.
So God can change you, right? He can help you.
Yeah.
We need that same help today. Everyone stand.